Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It's that time again. It's another episode of Story Break, everyone's favorite writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a simple, humble idea into an awesome movie. I am your host and social media expert guru, Freddie Wong. Welcoming back,
Will Campos. Hey, hey, that's my name. Don't wear it out. I'm a screenwriter. I'm back from vacation, y'all, which means I am raring to break some stories.
My name is Matt Arnold. I'm a new dad, first and foremost, and writer, director, second.
We're just dropping that in the intro?
He had to outdo you, Will.
I had my pregnant wife had a very long night last night, which I haven't talked about to you guys, which means I had a very long night last night, which means I'm fucking ready to go and do this podcast. Let's do it, everybody.
So Matt is, you said new dad. I feel like you should clarify that you're an expecting father, I believe is the terminology.
Well, it kind of depends on where you consider, where does life actually begin?
I think the real, Matt, the question is, where does fatherhood begin?
Yeah. I would argue father.
I think Ashley would say you are not a father yet, even though there is a child.
I think we found out like right on Father's Day, and then I got my first happy Father's Day. So anyways.
Sounds like someone jumped the gun on that.
Yeah,
one.
I jumped the gun. But anyways, so what are we doing?
Well, first of all, congratulations to Matt. We've said we're over it because we've known this news for a while now. Yeah. Just like Jimmy Wong and Mulan, as long as we're making announcements.
Yeah, it's announcement time here. So for those of you who have been following Jimmy Wong, my younger brother on Twitter, Ted on VGHS, they just announced that he's going to be in the new Mulan live-action Disney adaptation. So obviously, congratulations. He's been hustling hard as an actor, which is easily the toughest gig in Hollywood. But he finally got a break here. It's been his dream to be a Disney princess, and he's finally now.
All those hot takes about why it's wrong that they cast a man as Mulan is really kind of ruining his moment right now. But I just want to say Jimmy deserved it.
Oh, my gosh.
Jimmy Wong is Mulan in the new Mulan movie.
Who's he play again?
He plays Ling, I believe?
Yes.
If you remember Ling from the first one, that's who he's playing.
He's one of the three sidekicks of Mulan.
Yeah. Exactly. The skinny
and
one.
No, he can't get you Szechuan sauce. So stop asking.
Stop adding us. Everyone trying to get into that set.
Anyway, we have a story to break, gentlemen. Congrats to Jimmy. Congrats to Matt for being a future new dad. And yeah, let's dive in.
So this one's a weird one. This one comes from when we were kicking around ideas for our feature script, or one of the feature scripts we were working on. And we were talking about Chinese culture and like my growing up and kind of like the idea of the afterlife and stuff like that. And one thing that that I've done for my relatives, and is pretty common in Asian cultures, is burning what's called spirit paper, or I think it's actually the correct term is Joss money,
mm-hmm.
which is I think Joss Whedon's rap name,
Joss money,
Joss money, or Joss paper. And so here's how it works: is that
Joss money gets that Joss paper, dude.
So I've always
chasing
said,
that Joss paper.
So I've always said that like. One of the things I've noticed growing up is that Chinese culture is like hilariously materialistic. Like there's like during birthdays, it is straight up. I don't know how it is for you guys, but it is straight up on your birthday or like on Chinese holidays, you get red envelopes, and red envelopes have just cash in them. Like, I was like, oh, cool. I was got used to that. But then the idea when it was like other people's birthdays and they're like, oh, it's their birthday. I remember being like, oh, you just get like $20, right? And they're like, you can't just give someone cash on their birthday. And I was like, what do you mean you can't? Yeah, that's like all my grandma and grandfather do that for me. So like, anyways,
that's something I appreciate about Chinese culture, by the way. Like, I think that makes it a lot easier for everyone.
That's true. So that materialism then continues to translate well past your death, which is when you die, the idea is that in heaven or in sort of the afterlife, you still got like bills to pay and like you still need stuff.
Well, you send your loved ones to the afterlife. But usually, traditionally, they'll bury them in like three sets of clothes or like with extra clothes, and like they'll burn like. Items that you want your relative to have,
and like
with
representations
them.
Of it. Representations,
because I remember Switch,
like Nintendo Switches.
Yeah. No, but they do have like little like paper model smartphones that you'll burn. That'll like if you want your relative to have like a smartphone, I guess in heaven. I'm not trying to laugh.
Yeah,
at
but it's interesting, and it's also hilarious because anybody who is an economics major, what would happen if there was say an economy. And a bunch of people were burning and sending, let's say, billions of dollars into that economy. There's probably some wild inflation.
Probably some wild inflation. But, you know, assuming that heaven has, like, a Federal Reserve Bank and they, like, transfer it into maybe like a gold standard up there or whatever. Yeah, who knows?
Gold is very important, by the way. Anyway, so the idea of Joss paper spirit money, I was telling these guys about, and then I don't know how it came up, but like
we had the idea, like, well, there's all this cash sitting up in heaven.
Well, because in heaven it becomes real money.
It becomes real money in heaven. So then the idea became, what if a crew of criminals decided to pull the ultimate job on death itself and steal millions of dollars from heaven?
Yeah,
and it's Flatliners. It's what was it? It's Coco meets Point Break.
Yeah, but it was also, and it came from, there's that movie Flatliners of those guys, of that those medical students who are like
sexy co-ed medical students.
Sexy co-ed medical students who like get the biggest rush from.
Are there any other kind?
They get their big rush from like being dead for a couple minutes. And then it's all about the thrill of like, how long can you be dead underneath the knife before we bring you back? So you're like, okay. So that's heaven heist.
So that's heaven heist.
So let's start the clock.
Very quickly, should we go to Story Break Names to pick a name for Matt's child? Kyle Sessions, congratulations. You're the name of Matt's kid.
I will tell my wife that our baby girl is named Kyle.
Here's something interesting. In Taiwan, the money that temples got from burning ghost money in 2014, what, how much? How much do you think was spent?
$14 trillion.
$100 billion.
That's insane, all of you. Like, give me a reason. Whatever.
I don't know.
You have the promise. Let me back up for a second.
Wait, what is this? What is this?
$100 billion?
I hate this. You're right. I hate this.
I hate Freddie's dumb Wikipedia game. And then he gets offended when, one, I don't know what the currency exchange between.
This is bullshit. Whenever someone says, dude, guess how much blah, blah, blah. There's only two answers to that. Either you fucking nail it, and then the response is, oh, wow, you nailed it. Or you're hilariously wrong. You have fucked. I'm sorry, Matt. I apologize profusely because I hate this too. Because there's no way out of it when someone does this. It's a dumb trap.
Someone wants to dunk on you with a piece of knowledge they have. And then, like, yeah, because it's they're like, oh, hey, guess how much money we spend every year on Twinkies? And you're like, $1 million. And you're like, it's actually $1 billion. And then you're like, okay, you knew something I didn't for 4 years.
Yeah, it is. And it took us a minute to get to
that
dumb
question.
Fact.
That question is the equivalent of like, they're doing the fucking Bilbo when they're doing the riddle game. He's like, what's in my pocket? It's like, fuck you, Bilbo. That's not a riddle. Like, don't ask a dumb question that the person doesn't know the answer to.
Okay. $400 million was spent.
See, but the thing that's interesting to me about this idea of heaven heist is that the amount of money, like if I spend a dollar for Joss paper.
Oh, you get thousands.
I get thousands of dollars. So that's also part of the fun
really,
of the heist.
The exchange
is like,
rate. Because let's be honest, $400 million is, you're saying, annually about one average Marvel movie gets spent on spirit paper.
Yeah.
Okay, so roughly we're talking about a gazillion dollars
of
money.
It is like...
Well, it's got to be worth literally...
killing yourself.
Yeah, being dead for the amount of time.
Shuffling the mortal coil.
So here was, when I was thinking about this on the drive over here, just as a starting spot for us, was the idea that like, okay, yeah, like it was like you essentially, my kind of end point was like you have this getaway driver who in the middle of a job gone wrong, they're hurtling. They're trying to escape, right? And they have a clear shot to escape, but it's going to mean running over this old lady. And instead of running over the old lady, they swerve out of the way and wreck the car.
Yeah.
And then they have this near-death experience.
All
right?
of them.
They,
or just one
just
of them.
One of them, I think. Okay. But we'll just, whatever. We'll figure out the details in a second. But then the idea would be they got into heaven, right, in their near-death experience because they had this one redemptive act. They, you know, they mercifully spared the life of this old lady. And then in heaven, they saw the cash reserves. I don't know. Except we're going to have to figure out the sort of how
heaven
works.
You could do a thing where it's like a little tour. It's like you get on a tour in heaven. And it's like, oh, and here's all, and you can see where the money processing is. And they're just like, well, we'll show you around the facility a little bit. And then he gets paddled back.
Yeah.
He gets yanked from the tour.
He gets snapped back from whatever's going on.
He's snapped back to reality.
Yeah. So then they wake up and then it's like, whoa. And they're maybe in jail and they got to do this heist.
I feel like it needs to be two people then. At the very least, two people. Because if it's one person, it's easier for the
other.
Are you
going to believe them?
Yeah, because the other guy's like, no.
Unless then it's like you don't believe me? Go see for yourself, man. And then one of them like flatlines to go check it out. And then they're like, whoa.
Or alternately, they're in the cell. And the guy's like, it's all this stuff. And then like the guy in the back of the cell is like, I've been there. I can get you in.
Okay, so like, okay.
I have a way of, just as an overall sort of thing that I'm reading about here that I think actually could work as a, just something to put, keep in mind. The banknotes are known for their denominations ranging from $10,000 to $5 trillion. $5 billion is the whole each one of those notes. So it's a huge range of stuff.
So, you can send someone $5 trillion.
Well, again, inflation.
Sure. Right?
Yeah.
I guess at that point it's just an arms race. So, like, we got
to
keep up.
That's my problem, right? Yeah. It's what I like to call the pinball score inflation thing, which is a very specific reference. So the bills. Okay, here's the thing. The bills almost always feature an image of the Jade Emperor on the front and the headquarters of the Hell Bank. And Hell is used here not in the sense of like we understand Western understand Hell, but like a Taoist like afterlife Hell. So another con features the signatures of both the Jade Emperor and the Lord of the Underworld, who both of whom apparently also serve as Hell Bank's governor and deputy governor on the back. So the point is there's a governmental hierarchy. And then one more thing. The banknotes are often used as a bribe to Yama, right? Like the Buddhist god for a shorter stay or to escape punishment or for... Okay.
Oh,
there's a corrupt official.
I was about to say.
In there. So they can redeem themselves by like exposing this corrupt official. So it's like...
I think they stay in heaven because they realize all the money... Everybody in heaven's poor, and it's all these corrupt ass officials in heaven that take all the spirit money.
This is getting
and then they fucking burn down heaven in the end.
This is getting very interesting. I'm also realizing how little I know about the Chinese version of the afterlife.
I think this is like this is a movie version of the afterlife than it is. I don't know if it's 100% Chinese culture.
I'll be clear, Will. There is no definitive afterlife. We don't know about it. So whatever you depict is all good.
That's true.
Okay, but really quick. So let me...
Because you can always just be like, I guess we were wrong about that part.
Okay, so I feel like this is one of those rough things where we've kind of talked about this idea. So I feel like we're kind of going to all the very... Like we're talking shorthand because we've discussed some of the ideas of this movie. Mm-hmm. So to get to Will's... I like Will's the basic idea of like a criminal sees heaven and gets and kind of sees what's going to happen. They're like, okay, there's money in heaven. This is his idea. This is a classic driving past the bank or like being in a bar and hearing a bank teller talk about something. There's a way in.
Right.
So I think in terms, because we also talked about this being Coco meets Point Break meets
Inception
or whatever. Right, you may know, but so looking about, when do you spend Joss paper? Like, obviously it's funerals, specific stuff, but there's the Ghost Festival. What's cool about this is kind of like Coco, it's also a festival where the dead comes to visit the living. So heaven is also cleared out a bit. And people are burning a ton of money. Because you also feel like when the money goes up there, it probably goes to like a central bank.
Oh, yeah.
And then it gets spread out to people's accounts. And that's hard to get once it's in all the people's accounts.
Oh, so it's like an armored heaven heist.
But the idea that all this money goes up to this big central area, but everybody's visiting, so nobody's depositing or withdrawing their checks. So this is the perfect time. Heaven has has very low population because they're all visiting their live relatives. Mm-hmm. And the most money is going into heaven. Mm-hmm. They're like, the Ghost Festival is the time we fucking strike.
That's good.
So leading up to the Ghost Festival, I feel like they're constantly doing the flatliner stuff.
They're scoping it out.
They're like, okay, first we got a bribe to get across the river, right? We got to do this to get into here. Like they're figuring out all the different steps they need in order to make their way through heaven.
You know what? What's great too? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Oh my, this is some dark shit. Because the ghosts are coming to visit their relatives, right? So like there's that was in the Harrison Ford movie Hostage where he's the bank manager and they kidnap his family to make him do to help them rob the bank.
Oh my God.
If they figure out there's a human ghost that helps that they need, he's got the codes to the vault in heaven. Mm-hmm. So they kidnap his human family. They're like, we're gonna send your kids up to you unless you work with us, old man.
Holy shit. Okay. I have an idea. Because we were talking about in heaven, the time moves differently than on Earth.
Maybe,
right?
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing, because the only 7 minutes is like, it's going to be, I like the idea that like, if you're flatlined for 4 minutes, it's like, whatever, it's like a couple hours in heaven. Yeah. The difference in time is going to be helpful, because you can only flatline for so long, and you're not going to do this in 7 minute chunks. Like, you have to let them go and flow through heaven, and get into the heaven bank, and scout out the vault, and all this shit, right? So, one of them, or the main character, he lost his wife. He meets his wife in heaven.
Oh,
and there's also this
shit.
Thing of like, he starts staying too long. He's the one they're like, hey, can I stay? He's like, no, I'm scouting out again. And little does everybody know that part of the thing, he's going there. He's
shit.
Like reconnecting. He's like, you died? And he's like, yeah. And he's also got to play this thing where he's like, he's going to fuck up the heist. Like, you can't talk to your wife in heaven. She's going to know you're not actually dead. What's your excuse when you come back here?
I like the idea of when they go
it's
to scout
It's a little
out.
Inception.
Or he falls in love with it. It's just like, I like that.
Somebody should
have something in heaven that they're hanging on to.
Yeah.
Because, the ticking clock is like, he's flatlined too long. He's got to come back. And it's like, he's at dinner with, like, whatever.
I also like the idea that some of these guys, it's like, shoot, it's like, I can't go in there. It's like, I still owe my uncle money. I gotta keep my head down. Like, they gotta, like, walk the streets of heaven and incognito.
Or, yeah, or, like, one of them's, like, a murderer. Like, again, you have this ragtag team of different criminals. One of them's, like, a murderer. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the person he killed, like, sees him, like, during the thing, and that's gonna mess it all up and all this stuff.
Oh, there's the, well, you have the, his ex-partner got the chair. Yes. Right, and is I don't know why he'd be in heaven, but the like he someone he ratted
well,
out
so
is
to
in
be
heaven.
Fair, to
do you
be
know
fair.
What I mean? And is yeah. like wants revenge. Like yeah. that could be an interesting angle.
And one of the ideas we had was that the stakes when they actually start this heist, the problem is if they stay too long and they die. If they get caught trying to steal from heaven and then they actually
well,
flatline and die,
place to
they're
go.
Going to hell.
They're going to hell.
So stakes are they're going straight to hell.
What okay. I like about that is that most of the time the stakes are like. Ooh, if Danny Ocean gets caught, looks like he's going back to jail. It's like, what if he got caught and had to go to hell?
Instantly.
Before we dive into the crew, because I have a feeling that figuring out how this, the structure of how this movie is going to work,
yeah,
like
heist movies,
I feel like let's figure out how heaven works. What are we doing?
In my mind, for some reason, I just imagine the factory in Monsters, Inc., but instead of screams, it's money. So it's just like, there's like a central, right? If all this money's going through, if that was just the thing, like, how do you deal with this influx of currency all the time? It's like essentially it's like a big post office because it's not just money. Sometimes it's also
yeah, it's cars. There needs to be a distribution system.
Exactly. Because I don't think it suddenly shows up to the heaven person's doorstep.
No, because I mean, like you're at their thing. But even if it did, that would be if you're trying to run a municipality.
Yeah.
Chaos, right? Like if someone sent over 10 cars, like what do you, if you don't have a yard, what are you supposed to do?
Well,
with
you
that?
Also have this thing probably because they don't have a way of communicating with people on Earth, right? So
yeah.
Like the you don't like some people are going to send food. And other yeah. people are going to send money, right?
Yeah,
like,
true.
There's, like, all sorts of different stuff gets burned and yeah. sent to heaven. So, like, you probably, it flows to a, like, is this, like, a socialist government? Is, like, the money flow to...
So, are we doing this corrupt... So, like, I would say that...
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure
so
out.
So, let's first think about, in terms of just, like, giving, you want a place that they rob. So, I like the idea that everything that gets burnt goes to Heaven's Central Bank.
Yes.
And that's the redistribution system. We can get into whether or not that redistribution system is corrupt. Or if they have taxes, like, again, does a certain amount of the spirit money get cut out in order to run the infrastructure of Heaven?
Or if it goes into, so I mean, to be fair, or to a central redistribution sort of, like, you know, pot. Yeah. So it's like, oh, hey,
well,
you got 10 cars. Like,
no, but
you
I feel
need taxes to pay for, like, the stars in the sky and, like, the magic on Earth and goodwill. Like, all that stuff costs money.
Yeah, you think miracles are free? Like, yeah. There's a lot. So the stuff in there, paper currency, credit cards, checks, as well as paper mache clothes, houses, cars, toiletries, electronics, and servants.
You can burn like a paper servant?
I guess so.
Oh, that's cool. Because
oh,
they
so
can
like,
send up a scout.
I don't know how heaven works, but I just have this moment idea where they're getting in a Ferrari. Like, they're like, I got into a Ferrari. There's no keys. They're like, shit. And they're quickly origaming a set of keys. And they toss in the fire. And they write, like, to Joe. And
okay,
the keys
appear
in his
having
hand.
Having a guy on the outside who's the origami expert is great. But they need to figure out how to communicate with them.
And also, I feel like we're saying if the stuff that burns.
Well, now you're
to
saying
central
that
bank,
now, but yeah, then
yeah,
the keys would go.
Way.
To,
yeah,
sorry,
yeah,
the
joke.
Keys would go to the central bank as well, unless then he can go withdraw the keys.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Oh, well, here's something.
Yeah.
Because then, yeah, you have like this bank teller notices that, like, huh, this guy in heaven is withdrawing like a lot of saws and laser cutters and maps to the bank. Like, I think something's going on here. And then you have the guy because you would have the guy who runs the bank
yeah.
start to catch wise that these criminals are.
Yeah.
Oh, and then you could do that. The girl. Or again, the guy, the romance character, if you're going to have someone who's dead, is the bank teller. Like, because mm-hmm. that would be the person he has the excuse to interact.
Yes.
He has to interact with every time he goes up there to
I
get
love,
his,
also,
to get his,
God,
his gear
such
out.
A good idea. I love the idea also that it's like, we need, it's like, first step, we need to get a lot of stuff into here. It's like, you're right. It's like, but where can we hold it? And it's like, where are they going to store the stuff, right? It's like, first thing they're going to burn, a warehouse, too. It's like, but where? Who's we need it under someone's name. It's like, either one of us needs to volunteer to die, or, like, he ropes his whole family in on it. Like, there's like a, like one of them, it's like, my family, it's like, we can trust them. And like, he's like, listen, mom, dad, I need something, I need a favor. It's like, we're storing a whole bunch of tools in the garage or whatever. But the idea of like the physical.
I think they need, I was about to say, I think they need an inside man.
They need an inside
oh,
man.
Oh, absolutely.
Which
yeah.
is like, the question is, does one of them kill themselves when he realizes it? Or is it his partner who's also in the car accident? He finds him. But it feels tough because it's like, They're like, we need an inside man, but anybody that's in heaven wouldn't be an inside man to rob heaven.
Okay, sorry. So, but this gets to a secondary point. But go ahead.
But hold on, real quick. If it was at the beginning, if it's two guys and one guy dies, right, and actually dies, and he meets him in there, and he's like, wait, I'm going back. It's like, what are you doing? It's like, what? But when he comes back to his crew, they're like, what happened? He explains it. He could have maybe have some piece of information, like maybe the guy who dies is someone's brother, and he tells his brother something. He's like, he was in heaven. He knew because he talked to my brother in the afterlife. There's no way he could have known this detail or something like that. You know,
oh,
I mean?
To recruit like someone on Earth?
Or to just prove that, hey, this thing is real to his crew, right? If there was like, you know what I mean? So someone in the crew is like his younger brother. It's like, he's like, what did he tell you? It's like, what did he say? It's like, well, he said like when you were kids and this happened. And he's like, how did you know about this? It's like, I told you, I talked to your brother. It's like, he's right. Heaven is real.
That's the name of the movie.
Heaven is for real. Heaven part for two. Real. Well, here's my question. So are we saying that, okay, so we're saying that there is a heaven and there is a hell and you have to be good to get into
heaven. So that's super Western. Usually what it is there's an afterlife and there's like layers of it. And there's a generalized afterlife, but if you're bad, there's a punishment sort of thing, like a purgatory-esque sort of thing.
So really quick. So there are courts of hell in at least according to this, to one in the Tang Dynasty is 18 levels of hell, but that was just
Dante.
No. But that was the Buddhist text. The Diyu was 134 worlds of hell, and then they just simplified it for convenience.
Well, a lot of those were DLC.
So the 18 levels of hell are, one is just sinners are thrown off cliffs into sharp rocks.
Harsh.
Then the next one is cauldron torture, which is they're fried in cauldrons of oil. Then dismemberment, then grinding torture. Then there's a burning level.
Oh, there's an ice world.
There's an ice world. There's
hate ice worlds.
Yeah.
There's the sewer level.
Pool of blood. And then torture. And then, of course, the period of suffering in this chamber is the longest. The Avicii, or I'm sure it's not pronounced that way.
Avicii? The DJ Avicii?
Tell me about it.
It is reserved for sinners who have committed heinous crimes, such as the five grave offenses. So there's definitely
one
a hell.
One of
you
the
know
five.
What they there's say definitely a when, really hardcore
they,
hell.
You know what
they
say
to
when you get sent to Avicii is, wake me up when it's all over.
God.
I feel like the stakes are if they're like they get the definitely I feel like robbing heaven is definitely one of the five grave offenses.
Yeah, I was about to say what are the five grave offenses and is one of them grand larceny from heaven itself.
It is definitely like
here's intentionally murdering one's father, intentionally murdering one's mother, killing it.
They really got to split those up. No, that's right. It's a little gender binary.
Hey, listen, I'm just saying, killing a fully enlightened being, shedding the blood of Buddha, creating a schism within the community of Buddhist monks and nuns who are trying to attain enlightenment.
Okay.
Here's what I'm confused. So there. Okay. So we have the hell. We have the 10 courts of hell. But this is not the place that the money goes. Like you're not sending your Corvette to the person who's getting thrown off.
There's
a cliff
a central redistribution bank, whatever.
But this here's my question. Here's what I don't understand. Like someone dies, right? You don't know whether they went to hell or to heaven, right? Like, do they? I'm assuming that if you're in the realm of hell where you are getting disemboweled,
you're
every
not getting
day,
the Corvette.
You're not getting sent money.
That's the money. The
that's
money.
The money they're stealing. All the money that the families have sent to sinners.
Oh, you think heaven is just like sitting on that money? No, that's the money that pays for children's happiness and shit. They're definitely using that money. They're not using that money.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, but I'm saying like because that's part of the balance. It's like the money that was given to people that went to hell is like that money's used for good to make up for the fact
point.
That
they had bad people.
They had bad people.
That feels like a little bit of a concept, Matt. I think you'll appreciate called double taxation. You're telling me the guy gets punished and that money goes. That's double taxation.
Yo, fuck that guy. He went to hell. So I like the Day of the Ghost. I think that's a good to give us a clock. I like the idea that heaven is cleared out or a lot of people are so
heaven
like,
heist Day of the Ghost.
Is the idea that do you get out of hell eventually? Is it like a purgatory where you're getting tortured for your stuff and then like, or is this eternal?
Feels like it's a not.
After receiving due punishment, one will eventually be sent for reincarnation.
We don't have to. Does not required to understand all like. What
well, yes, no. Obviously, at a certain point, we're just saying it doesn't work like it works in the books. Like,
the other thing, it doesn't matter if they eventually get reincarnated. Like, they don't want to go to hell. Like, if they get caught in this heist, they go to a hell, which seems like it's 18 layers of torture. So that's very bad. That's worse than going to prison. And we also are coming up with the idea that there's a Federal Reserve in heaven. There's a heaven bank. They are trying to heist this heaven bank.
Yes.
I'm more curious, is it like is this like Good Place? Is it just like a city? Is heaven just like a city?
So that's, yeah, it has to be close to the real world, except it's heaven, right? Like, so it's just stuff like that. So that's why it's like we got to fold up a real hot ass car because we need a getaway vehicle.
Which I like a little bit of using heaven as like a classist like commentary where like his response coming back is like, in heaven, they all fucking live rich while us pieces of shit live down here suffering. That's some bullshit. Like, we deserve some of that money up there. Like, that's some cold ass shit. Like, literally, not only that, but we're spending money down here to give them their rich houses.
That's true.
And isn't
is that not a parable for, right, like the lower beings paying out?
And who decides who gets to be rich up there?
That's true.
So look,
let's get into characters. Let's get into characters.
Yeah, I think I like the guy. I like this criminal who flashes into heaven because he makes this one good decision to
swerve out and
save this old lady and risk his own life.
Yeah.
And what he sees is heaven is a bunch of the amount of money you're talking about, like, he sees heaven is fucking Ferraris and nice ass mansions, and there's a huge bank, and he sees people walking out with things of cash, and he comes in, he's like, guys, that shit's real and there's real ass money up there, we could steal
and there's
heaven.
No security because it's all
or like dumb,
it's all
security.
Good people.
Yeah, it's all goody two shoes.
Well, except no okay, yeah,
there should be security because it's hard.
Yeah.
How is the mechanics of them getting the money from heaven to earth gonna work?
That's what he does too, in order to prove to his clan.
Oh,
yes,
he used to bring something back.
He brings something
heaven.
Back. He brings a dollar back.
You can put it in your mouth.
Yeah. No. Okay. This is why they need the. Was it the Ghost Festival? Sorry,
the Ghost. Yeah, the Ghost Festival.
I was gonna say, like, since the ghosts are coming to visit the living, that he realizes the doors open.
The fabric of like between the two worlds. Oftentimes, these sort of festivals, just like Halloween, it's like about
kind of like the bridge in Coco. Like that festival, they open the doors up so the ghosts can come visit their families, and they're like, that's our opportunity.
They gotta smuggle it out at that moment.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's
finds,
fun.
And he finds out there's others. Like, you know, maybe when they're having a birthday or funeral, you know, if it's your birthday, the ghost comes up to the gates. They're like, hey, it's my birthday. I'd like to go visit my family. They open the door, and that's how he sneaks out. And he's like, so they open the door for when it's, he's like, but how are we going to smuggle out thousands of dollars? You can't do that at a single fucking, when they're letting one person in, you just happen to sneak out there. He's like, the fucking Festival of Ghosts, they open up all the gates.
Right.
And they fucking let everybody out to go check out. That's when we got to smuggle all of our money.
Some mechanism.
Let's get to that in a second.
There's a mechanism they figure out. That's clearly part of the run-up.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure that out. This might look, okay.
Okay.
Oh, my God. All right.
If heaven money...
Yeah.
It's barely...
Yeah, I'm with you, baby.
If heaven money burns in heaven,
oh, shit.
It comes back to earth.
But they never burn it.
There's no fire in heaven. There's fire in hell, though. So they got to steal this money from... heaven.
Shit, that's really good. Then they have to go to hell.
Then they have to go to hell.
So good.
They have to get to the cauldrons in hell and then throw the money in there and then get pulled out before they're stuck in hell, before the doors
close.
Yeah,
this is great.
Okay.
Baby, you cracked it wide open.
That's really good.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and there's no fire in heaven because heaven's kept at a breezy 75 degrees.
Yeah.
Sorry for Matt.
It's just all,
68
for Matt.
Yes. It's whatever temperature you want, and there's just light everywhere. Because because fire is just a conversion of energy. There's no reason for that in heaven. Everything is just exactly as
it's
supposed to be.
But hell, they got fire plenty.
Yeah. Which is part of the circle of life, because that's how you get reincarnated. Right? Because your body gets burnt eventually in hell, and that's how that brings you back to earth.
What if the plan is, what if that's the final leg of the plan, is like, no, we're going to get reincarnated.
Oh, shit.
That's how we get out of hell.
Holy shit. Okay, that's very good. The last turn is the gates close, and they're stuck in hell, and they're like, how are we going to make it?
And he's like, and there's only one thing we can do.
Their buddy hides all the money in heaven, in earth somewhere.
Yeah.
And then when they get reincarnated, and they come out of the womb,
and they all have a birthmark
with a Swiss bank account number on it.
Yes, they all have a birthmark. They all have a birthmark that's actually a longitude latitude. Mm-hmm. And then the four of them just show up like, what? How are? Why are you here? He's like, I have a birthmark. It's like, what is it? And they open up and it's just $1 trillion.
Okay,
and like, we fucking did
great.
It.
The ending of it is they literally are reborn as babies and they meet again.
As crime babies.
Oh my God, this is so rad. So really quick, this is clearly like a Stephen Chow, like over the top, like, man, this is a great idea.
I think this movie's stone cold
serious.
Yeah,
this is Michael Mann presents Heaven Heist.
Jean-Pierre Melville level Alain Delon stoic badasses.
Because the thinking of the second act turn where they've burnt all the money in hell and they know the money's all gone back to Earth, but they're stuck in hell now.
How great is this?
It's like
this?
The ultimate, like, well, we've paid our price. Like, yeah, we stole from heaven, but now we're stuck in hell. And they're like, okay, how are we going to do it? And they're like, there's only one way. We're going to have to suffer and work our way through hell and get reincarnated, but I got a plan. So it's about how can they get that message to the person who's back on Earth to be like, yo, our shares better be in this pot, or whatever.
Or we're coming for your family. And it's the origami. It's the origami, you know. And the guy, he's like, ha. And it's like you see the last shot of him. It's like you see him like burying the treasure somewhere. And he like flips a gold bar in his hand and like gives a little wink over to him. It's like, ha, see you later. And he like walks off. And it's like, what? This is the wildest movie of all time.
Okay. Okay.
Oh boy.
Okay. This is very good. All right.
Let's get to characters.
Let's dive in.
Okay.
Right?
Characters.
So
we have 25 minutes remaining. We should get into some characters.
Let's just pick a main character so we can talk about what that person is doing.
Now, hold on. Here's a question. Is this Asian or is it a whole like Fast and Furious-esque multicultural mix of people?
This feels like a The Meg type deal where there's like a Jason Statham or a Matt Damon that helps get the movie made and then it's mostly an Asian cast.
I feel like the main guy is Chinese.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
for sure.
You know, I don't know I don't think he's necessarily like a Chinese gang.
But here's what I'm saying. It's like, do you want to sit there and have him be like, do you need to get into theological discussion? He comes back, he's like, hey, sorry, the Christian guy in our group, it turns out your version is not, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, here's
like,
something fun you could do, especially if you wanted to do a sibling relationship. You were talking about them meeting someone in heaven, right?
Right.
Is you could do, it's a gangster, right? Again, I was like a getaway driver.
Yeah.
And then it's his brother who is a Buddhist monk or is like a priest.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe you even do the brother died and is in heaven, and that's who he sees in heaven. Something like that.
If you reach enlightenment,
yeah,
can I'm trying to think if there's a way to do where like somebody on Earth who's not dead can simultaneously be in Earth and heaven at the same time. Like if they find somebody so pure that they like,
oh, they con him to be like helping.
They
him
con
out.
Like they know there's a priest.
They con an enlightened being, which is like spilling the blood of a Buddha,
which is
one of the five unspeakable sins.
Yes, because what they do is they pretend to that. They lie. They essentially trick that monk into thinking that they're enlightened, and they meet him in heaven and say, like, I died, but look, I made it. Thank you for your teachings.
Oh, my God.
But they pass him a message, and little does the guy realize that what
they're
passing
him
is actually... Yeah, it's like actually the whatever. So
this is creating a schism in the community of Buddhist monks.
They should do all five sins by the end.
Yes.
Well, I like it just being one because killing a mom and killing a dad feels like a. I mean, like Matt said. But it's fun because it's like, don't you realize what you've done? It's like, what? Whatever. It's like that guy was enlightened. He's finally like, no, your actions have created a schism. This is one of the five deadly sins.
Yeah, you're not going to the again, they thought they were going to get into the knife torture, get thrown on. They thought they were going to the ice world at Tops.
No, you're going straight to level 18.
Yeah.
What a reveal.
Whoa.
Okay, all right, this is very good. I really like the idea because it's also a fun contrast to have this character who's like, you do, maybe it's someone who's like, it's this miraculous precocious child who is able to, you know, like you remember John Edwards like crossing over with John, was it Jonathan Edwards, the guy who would pretend to talk? It's like those guys who do cold reads and be like, talk to you like, oh, I sense that you lost someone. It's like a kid who does that, but they're like for real, right?
Yeah.
And so they're like, this kid is going to be our medium, like this is our medium to, and again, like the kid is like a, he's a, you know,
I love that because that answers
like
how are they communicate, because there's like, what, they have radios that go through heaven?
No, it's a fortune teller.
The idea that when they flatline, they have to be at this Buddhist temple and talk to this kid, so they all have to pretend to be truly into the idea of being a new a worshiper.
Yeah.
So you have these criminals pretending to be Buddhist worshipers who every Sunday go and hear from this child
who's just
communing with their dead friend that they love so much, and that guy's actually passing them fucking heist information. So they're tricking this kid to rob heaven.
Well, so the kid is so like good. This, the kid is like this miraculous, and they're like, he's a reincarnation of like an enlightened being or like an enlightened person, essentially, right? And then like that's there, like he has this miraculous ability, you know, like the.
I like the idea. So I've actually met a face reader when I was in China.
Mm-hmm.
It is a hilarious, it is fascinating and super hilarious sort of thing. But I like the idea of like, that's what the kid does. It's like he becomes like this, like, you know, like speaker, and there's like people who line up and like talk to him, so they need to like get in that line and be like, we need to pretend. That's so much fun.
I know this is offensive, but like, I really want, now I just want the ending rather than these guys win. I want it to be like a spy game. I want it to be they get into hell and then they realize like, oh, snap. And then that kid is walking away with $1 trillion. You're like, he fucking played them the whole time.
Does the kid realize he could get the money and use it to help the poor or something like that?
And, and they're in hell smoking a cigarette. They're like, well played. Well played. Like, that
we'll
kid
get
was
you.
The fuck.
We'll
that kid
get
knew
you.
From day one.
Fucking Gimme Shelter starts playing as the kid walks away. Do-do-do-do.
Oh, yeah. And that kid sent bad guys to hell.
Yeah.
And then got us money and is doing good with it. And then at the end, you're like, nah, you can't. I mean, like.
No, you know, and then they look at him. It's like, don't worry. We'll get him in the next life.
Oh, they don't realize. Oh, shit. That's what it is. No, we still do the same thing. They think they got it all figured out. They're going to get reincarnated. And they go to the fucking longitude, latitude. And they all show up there in their next life. And they open up the case.
It's a note from the kid.
And they go, and they do a flashback. That kid got $1 trillion. He did all his good in the world. And then
when they're reborn, it's like the world's like a noticeably better place.
They literally
it's like, what's going on? Like, you're seeing like all the little, like the montage of them like growing up.
It's like world peace, no poor. And they're like, no!
No! The guy takes a big dragon cigarette, like, well played, motherfucker. Well played. You made the world a better place. That's really good.
That is such a cool ending. Because you know, it's fun because then it's like when they reincarnate, it's like you see like the montage of like the main character like growing up again.
Yeah.
But it's like in the background, it's just like, it's a really nice world that he's growing up in. It's just like a completely understated thing. Oh, that's so good. You know what it is? They do it and then they look off to the side and there's like a statue of the kid. Because it's like he's this hero who, like, you know, in like 100 years ago, like, made this world a better place. He's like, we'll get him next time.
Ah, yeah, that's so good. Okay. I like that the guy who tricks everybody is actually just essentially a Jesus character. Like, Jesus tricks them all and does good. And he literally, everybody wins. The bad guys go to hell, and poor people on earth get all this money.
Okay. All right.
It's a good twist. Nobody sees coming. Okay, main character. Let's pick a name. Oh, I was going to say, what's really funny if you do that, the main character is Chinese. This guy doesn't know anything about Chinese culture. Then you have like a white dude who's like an anthropologist or like is a Harvard religious study.
Yes, let's definitely have a white person mansplaining everything in the movie.
Or a non-white person, but just somebody's like, an anthropologist, with my religious studies,
religious studies major. Yeah. That is actually kind of funny.
I'm not going to tease him. So Kyle Sessions, we're going to probably change your last name. But Kyle is going to be our main character.
Kyle. Okay.
Kyle. Getaway driver Kyle.
Getaway driver.
Baby driver Kyle. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Kyle's... All right. So he's working with a gangster crew.
Yeah.
And so the opening is a bank job, right? Yep. The idea. And then he... So I'm just trying to walk through it, right? Like act one, you've got the bank job.
15 minutes, by the way.
I do like that Kyle has left a, you know, like, he's not like a born gangster like a lot of these other guys, right? Like, again,
sure.
he fell in with a bad crowd and yada, 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 right? And I like the idea.
He's in debt or something. Like, he's being a getaway driver to work off something.
Feels like a baby driver's plot.
But no, I don't even necessarily need if you know that, but it's like he became a criminal, but like, again, like, he has parents who are like, again, like, if his brother's a monk or something like that, I think that's an interesting angle to give this kind of thing. He gets, the getaway heist goes wrong, he gets wrecked, he wakes up after having made this decision to save someone's life, right? And he screwed over everyone on the job. I mean, it's actually, he's the, there are all the gangsters like, you fucked up our job, right?
Yeah.
He wakes up and he saw, okay, so he goes to heaven, right?
Yeah.
And maybe this is the loophole, right? Is that if you die in an act of saving someone's life, it's an automatic ticket to heaven.
Yeah.
Like, we'll say that that's like a glitch something, right? Because he's had a life. He shouldn't be in heaven.
Well,
right?
it evened out his like life of crime was that he saved an innocent life, you know,
and
sacrificed himself.
Okay, yeah.
You just want to know, I think the important thing is where I'm trying to get to whether or not he's in debt or whatever is that you need, why are they pulling off the heist? Because I get that he sees the money. So what's the thing that drives him to pull this thing off?
Well, like, so to me, the first thing that leapt at me is that like if he screwed up this heist, he owes that. They're like, where you owe us money. Like, again, like, or if it's him, you can also do this. The snappiest way to do it would be that he is part of this small time crew. Right? Like, that they got hired to do this job for some big-time gangster to rob this bank, and that gangster's like, where's my money? Like, you owe me my fucking money.
Yeah.
Like, and they lost it.
Well,
and they need to,
it's the Han Solo.
Yeah.
But instead of just dumping it because he got scared, it's that he was, his thing, he was just driving money to the gangsters, and a old woman came out, and he swerved to avoid hitting her, crashed. Obviously, you know, cops came because there was an accident, and they saw this money, and he lost all the gangster's money.
Yeah, so
it's like this thing, but now he's responsible.
Yeah, his
for that.
Crew stole this money, and they were supposed to. Yes. It was for to deliver it to the head of the mob.
Yes,
and then they lost the money because and so now they owe them all this money.
Yes.
Right, and it's like we're dead men if we don't get them and that money. It's like dead men is exactly what we need to be to get that money.
Exactly.
We're gonna own this town, baby. Yeah, all right. Okay, I like that. So then I think the rest of his crew, it can be his crew from the original job if you even want it to be. Like if it's him, it's his knucklehead friends from, you know, when he was a kid that have, you know, kind of come up in the streets together or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So okay. It's just as a thing, because I was thinking about his brother, and if his brother is a Buddhist, like, monk, that could be how, one, that's how he knows about this kid who can communicate, because it might be the same, like, you know. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that's how he knows about the
brother.
Well,
his brother reaches out and be like, hey, you know, his brother is like, stop this life of crime, like, come with me and go to the temple. There's this new kid. He's like, you know, he's enlightened. He's brilliant. Like, just come with me on Sundays, like, or Saturdays or whatever. Just, it'll be wonderful. Like, his brother keeps pushing him.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know, you start with that. You get the character dynamic.
Well,
he's
taking a call from his brother while he's waiting for the gangsters to get out of get out of the bank.
And then he's like, they ask the question, like, how the hell are you going to talk? How the hell can we communicate when you're in heaven, even if we figure out this flatlining thing? And then his brother calls, like, hey, sorry to keep bothering you, bro, but, you know, I'm going to the temple this week. He's like, I got an idea, motherfucker.
Oh, well, so that's your next scene. He goes to see his brother to ask him questions about it, because, like, his brother's like, I'm so glad you're getting interested
in your brush with death. Clearly has, like, changed your thing. It's like, I'm glad that, what's great is the opening is it's him in the car that's talking to his brother. It's like, why aren't you here? Like, it's mom, and, you know, it's like, it's mom's, like, you know, sort of thing. Like, you should be. And he's like, sorry. It's like, and he's talking, and he just slowly revealed that he's like a getaway driver. That's such a fun, like, reveal for him. It's like, he's on the phone. It's like, no, he's waiting for his guys to get out of the bank and stuff.
Yeah.
That's so much fun.
Okay, so yes, this guy who's stuck between, literally he has got a heaven, you know, he's got an angel and devil on his shoulder. He's got his brother trying to change his life.
Yes,
he's got these gangsters that are you know, keeping him, this is how he gets paid, and he's in debt. And yes, he screws up this, and again, he literally has this decision, and he saves a life and he ruins his job. So now he's in debt. But that brush with death also gives him an idea of how to fix things, which is they can get. Yes, it's insane. How are we supposed to pay off $10 million? We don't have that money. It's like, crazy.
We have to turn over every bank in this town twice.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't have to. We'll have to only turn over one.
Only one bank, and we'll pay them back 100-fold, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you talking about? It's like, there's money in heaven, boys. And then, yes, and then this that becomes, that's your first act, essentially.
Yes. Okay.
So your second act is the how do we get to heaven,
yes.
Right? And you're going to get that flatline.
So they are, again, like, you could do one of them. Well, what's fun is one of them just flatlines themselves.
Yeah. They need a doctor friend.
They need to recruit. There's a mob doctor.
The mob doctor.
And so the mob doctor, but then you could do one of them flatlines and goes to hell.
Yeah.
Right, and they're like, "Whoa, shit! I was not in heaven with the bank, and where the hell you were?" So
that's such a good moment. Yeah. They flatline him, and they're all just sitting there waiting, and then they plug him back in. He goes, "Ah!" He's screaming, like, "Oh my god, I was tortured for 4 weeks. Yeah. What the fuck was that?"
Because then you would do, I was also trying to, like, do you do this, like, where every time they have one need to get to heaven, they have to do it by saving an innocent person's
life? No, I was
going to
say that they're like, okay, guys, so the first thing let's say they have like a week, and they're like, boys. It's time that we become motherfucking saints, and all they're doing right now is being really good. They spend their day. You have a montage of them just walking old ladies across. They walk an old lady across the street, then they flatline. They wake up screaming, like,
"I moved up two levels.
Not good enough yet." They're like donating charity. So you have this montage where these criminals have to be good people.
This is amazing.
Have to be good people until they flatline. They show up in heaven. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, we've done it. We're good enough people to go. Heaven, because that's how it works.
That's so good. It's like, it's kind of like in Small Time. If you remember that movie, Small Time Crooks, the Woody Allen movie, where it's the stupidest premise of all time, but it's like they want to drill underground to get into a bank, so they buy the storefront next to it to get in, and then it's these bozos trying to drill in, like, through the underground, but meanwhile the guy's wife starts running a cookie shop, like, upstairs, and then, like, their heist goes horribly wrong, but her cookie shop becomes super successful, and then it's like, anyway, it's just a weird
great,
because I was gonna, like, maybe that's how they get an audience with this kid, is, like, again, like, because they start donating to charity and doing all this good work, and they're getting all this good karma, and then, like, the like they get to meet the kid in person or something like that. I don't know. Or like again, like, or it's through doing all that stuff that again, because they're trying to
they
just
get the idea of how they commune.
Yeah, because they're like, we're still going to need to figure out how to communicate.
So the end of your second act is essentially they can, when they flatline, they do indeed get to heaven. And they figure out a way to commune back and forth to each other, which is they have to be with this monk to talk to them from the other side. And like, okay, we've got it. So then your third act is
if they're there for like a, the time can be a little bit loose, but if they're there and it's like they send a message to the monk, I guess, and then the monk can
also like make the time difference, because like if you're like if they're only flatlined for 7 minutes, it's like,
well, it's weird though, because it's like, do they need to be flatlined while they're talking to the
Because you would do that, they like, let's say 7 minutes, they're in heaven for like 2 days, they just go and they meet the they go to the commune area and play loose with it. It works just like Inception. Like you have they talk to the kid in heaven, and then it's fine because in heaven, like the kid's hearing all 2 days of heaven.
Oh, I see. It's easy. In fact, it's better because that way, otherwise,
like, how are they going to talk? They can go and they can rob the bank and then come back and tell the kid, and it's been enough.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Anyways, well, I feel like your third act is essentially. It's the actual buildup of the heist.
Oh, I love the idea that they have a code word. Oh, okay, sorry.
Is it weird that you have this second act that is a montage of them all doing good deeds and stuff like that? That feels like your emotional growth over the course of like a film. Do you know what I mean?
No, because what I love about that is like, because there's no emotional growth.
Okay, they're just grinding.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a complete joke. I love it.
I really love the idea that, sorry, just because this is a thing that I did once to test lucid dreaming and astral projection, long story, but like the idea that like,
we'll get into that shortly.
Like the guy on the earth side like shows them each a playing card. It's like, this is your card. And then in the end, it's like, then he knows they're in because he talks to the kid and he's like, he says something about the ace of hearts and he's like, they're in. Like, you know what I mean? It's like they have a piece of information that only they know. It's like
your second act is also going to be the gathering of the crew, figuring like, right, that's essentially what's like they're getting the basics of going to heaven. And
this all I will say in terms of like a dramatic thrust, this all feels like second act, third act stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just
in terms of the build up.
To re-pivot in my head, it feels like, if anything, like your first act is the end of the first act is he wrecks the car, he goes to heaven, he sees the he sees the afterlife, right? Mm-hmm. And then the second act is, oh shit, we've got this debt to pay. What the fuck are we gonna do? And he comes up with the like, we're going to rob heaven. And then it's like, okay, we are going to rob heaven. That is them going on the quest. Like, that is the decision to go on the quest. Is this that? Do you know what I mean? And it's like especially even like that idea, like we're gonna have to get into heaven. Heaven again.
Sure. Yeah,
I'm just repositioning that in my head.
So that's all part of the. So the third act is essentially all the heist, some of which is the how do we do it? How do we get to heaven? Then there's probably like, now that they're in heaven, you know, they start casing the joint. Like, okay, you need to cross this river to get to the bank and you need to set up an account. And like, how does this work? Who's the security? It's all this. And then you start building the world of heaven and like, what's all the obstacles in heaven going to be?
Yeah.
I don't know if we have time to figure all that stuff out, but that's essentially what.
Yeah. And again, like, I think you do, like, this is where you're developing your emotional story as well. So like, I think you're doing they're cultivating their asset, essentially the kid who can communicate, like the medium. And then they're also, I like the idea that the main character is more or less like the only one, not the only one who can get into heaven, but like, again, he got into heaven the first time. Like, it's going to be easy. So, but it's like, I like the idea of this bank teller that he meets that he starts, you know, maybe falling for, or like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
It could also be. And by the way, one of the other relationships that probably grows because he's probably talking to his brother.
Yes,
for
I was about to say.
Time,
he's talking to his brother, so they actually start getting close.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you could maybe do. He starts connecting his brother, and then you realize one reason his brother got all into religion is his brother has a disease, and the big turn once they go in the heist, his brother dies. So he's dealing with his brother sick in the hospital. His parents didn't tell him. He's sick in the hospital right when they're doing the heist. So he's dealing with that. And then his brother dies.
And it's going to blow the heist. Yes. Yeah.
And realizes his brother's like, what are you doing here? And then he realizes it. Because I could also see, if you want to do the super twist, the double twist is, not only did the monk do it all, you realize that our main character actually betrayed everybody.
Yeah. You do it to his family. He did it for his family.
The main character is the one that told before they went on the heist. You realize that the main character talked to the monk kid and was like, I'm going to go to hell so you can get all the money. Like, he essentially makes, and then he gets reincarnated. His reward is he's reincarnated as a baby.
Yeah.
So he serves his time. He serves his time and he takes all some money from heaven and gives it to this monk who his brother admired. And then it's like literally ends with, His brother gets reincarnated, and you end with the two of them as brothers, like reborn.
They're baby brothers.
They're baby brothers again.
Oh, that's such a cool ending.
Okay, all right. I love tracking the relationship with the brother who's the monk, and that being your main thing. I'm playing the spirit medium who can commune between the worlds.
And I like the height of the emotional turn during the climax is the brother as he's dying is like, I'm so proud of you. You've become a good person. It's nice that I got, like, I'm glad that you became a good person. Like, literally, as his dying words are like, I love you. Like, they are healed. And that's instantly turned where then he dies. He shows up in heaven. He's like, you motherfucker.
And he realizes.
Are heisting heaven?
Yeah.
You piece of shit. I thought you'd change. I thought you were somebody. And he's like, you can't blow this,
you're,
man. I'm telling you, I'm
committing
the
most despicable, sacrilegious, offensive thing you could possibly. I have no brother.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. He's like, you can't blow this. If you blow this, I'm fucking dead, dude. He's like, you are dead.
You are. Because it's great. Because he receives this devastating, you know, like, again, the brother's like, how? Like I can't even believe, like, you know, like that you would do something like this. And then there's the like, is his brother gonna rat him out to the heaven authorities?
And then like, do the guys get too hard? It's like, dude, we got put your brother down. It's like, we can't put him down. He's already dead. It's like,
no, we gotta put him down in hell.
Yeah.
Oh, they figure out a way to send his brother to hell.
Like, because that's when the fraction of you always need that moment where the team starts falling apart.
Your
brother's gonna screw this all up for us. Like, my brother's a good person. He's like, he's gonna tell on us.
Oh, you know what's great? Oh shit, that's actually pretty good. Is that you do? Okay. So act one. He gets in the crash, he sees heaven. Act two, they're trying to figure out how to break into heaven. Act three, they realize, you know, like, okay, we're the act two, they're like, oh, what are we gonna do? We got all this money problems, you know, et cetera. We're gonna rob heaven. Act three, he starts going to church with his brother. He, you know, starts learning about heaven. He's, you know, they're plotting the job. You know, meanwhile, he finds out his brother's sick. His brother dies. End of act three, it's Day of the Dead. Day of the Dead, the Chinese Ghost Festival.
Yes.
They go to do their heist. Like, and it's like act four it's go time. It's the heist. And then, he doesn't even realize, he's not there when his brother dies.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, because he's doing this heist.
Yes.
And he runs into his brother in heaven. Like, that's the twist, essentially, right? While they're in the middle of the job.
Yes.
And shit goes down. Everything gets goes crazy, right? But then, like, the next step of the heist is they have to go through hell.
Yes.
The brother winds up going to hell with them because the brother gets caught up in it, essentially. Yeah. And then, like, something like that.
It might be some mechanism where, like, the brother does try to screw up the heist and they had a way into hell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the brother screws up.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, we're screwed. The heist is over. And then one of the guys, whatever anthropologist dude, is like, no, your brother is going to get us into hell. They're like, how's that? It's like, we're going to make your brother go to hell.
Yeah.
It's like, because they realize, like, they come up, he says some ways, like, we're going to frame your brother for this, and he's going to get sent to hell. And when they open that door for hell, we're going in with him.
Yeah,
it's like, you can't send my brother to hell. He's a good person.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
Too bad, motherfucker. Like, this is the job.
It's not
our fault that your brother's in heaven. So, like, yeah, that's the cost.
Okay. So then that brings...
By the way, 2-minute sprint warning.
Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah, so that's act four, essentially, right? So then the main character has to save his brother is act five.
And he does that, and it's one of those, like, again, it's kind of cheating, but it's
part of the plan all along.
It's the spy game. Yeah, it's that ultimate, like, the heist is going on and you think the guy has gone along with his buddies and is sending his brother to hell, but when you do that flashback sequence, you realize, like, he's actually been working with the monk. He got to the monk and he came up with his ultimate plan that, like, yes, he's sending his brother to hell.
Yeah, it's one of those you realize that the actual character growth was, like, two steps back.
Yes.
And so
he says, yes, we'll send my brother to hell because we gotta do his job, but you realize that he actually went to the monk and was like, this is the only way to save my brother. He's going to have to go through hell and come out the other side. But if you help me with this, monk, I'm going to send you $1 trillion
from
heaven, and you can make the world a better place with it, sort of thing. And then, yes, you do all the monsters. All the monsters are stuck in hell. And, essentially, and then they all get reincarnated. There's nothing there. There's just a note saying, like, thanks for the $1 trillion or whatever.
That
sets up your sequel, too, because they're like, well, where is he? He could be anyone. It's like, he's back here like us. He's someone out there. We'll find him, right? Like,
so, like, he saves his brother.
Yes.
Right? And I think his brother gets to go to stay in heaven.
Yes.
So I don't think his brother reincarnates. Because
his brother stays in heaven.
So he saves his brother.
That's a great ending.
You get the real goodbye, and he's going to hell. Yeah. The brother realizes that his brother is going to go to the lowest circle of hell to save him, right? Yeah. And then he's like, I'll see you up here someday, or something like that, right? And then he says,
I hope you live your next life.
Well, the idea that reincarnation, it's like you still have work to do on Earth, right? It's like you're staying here, huh? It's like, yes. It's like I've achieved whatever level. It's like, and I can be here. And it's like, what about you? It's like, gotta go back to Earth. Still got work to do.
Yeah. It's a little weird. It's like I don't, because we obviously get reincarnated as a baby, but I kind of like the main character still being a little bit of like a, he's like a charming thief. He's like, because you can get reincarnated more than once, right?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. So it'd be like,
Matt, I hate to break it to you. You've been reincarnated about a zillion times.
So I like the idea. Like, the last words of the brother are like, see you in one more lifetime. He's like, yeah, I think that'll be enough. And then he gets reincarnated and you see him pull out a bunch of heaven money. He's like, it might be a couple more than one lifetime. <Yeah!
laughs> He looks up at this guy. Sorry, bro. Might be down here for a little longer.
Yeah. You're like, okay, he's not one lifetime away from going to heaven, so but like he's a little bit better.
And then you see his brother's chuckling up in heaven, and like, you son of a bitch.
You rascal.
Oh my God, this is so good.
I think this is a movie. If we banged up Chinese religion.
Offended anybody who believes in any version of heaven.
We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, the elevator pitch.
Hello, I'm Oliver Wong, scholar, journalist, and DJ.
And I'm Morgan Rhodes. I'm a music supervisor. We host Heat Rocks, a podcast where we invite our favorite musicians, writers, and scholars to talk about the albums that have changed their lives. Join us as we discover forgotten classics.
I think that Boots Riley is one of, if not the most underrated MCs in the history of hip-hop.
Reminisce about our faves.
I was always feeling like a little bit of a tourist when I would listen to like Big Daddy Kane. And suddenly when De La Soul came out, it was like, hey, you can dance and be goofy and have fun and love hip-hop, and you don't have to pretend to be anybody but yourself.
And of course, talk nonstop about his Purple Majesty, Prince.
Having your idol listen to your music, it's life-changing. It's the thing you want from your parents, so to speak, or that you didn't have.
Heat Rocks, every Thursday here on Maximum Fun.
Hey everyone, Will Campos here. Welcome back to Story Break. You are joining me live from the afterlife. I've flatlined myself and I've got about 2 minutes here before I'm stuck here forever. I'm here in the liminal space between heaven and hell because I have a quick general meeting with not just brand representation people from heaven, but also a brand rep person from hell. I believe one's an angel, one's a demon, and I need both of them to sign off on Heaven Heist because we are going to need to shoot in both heaven and hell. So I'm walking into this room right now.
Hey, hello.
Hi.
Dale.
You're Dale the Demon?
Dale the Demon. I'm in charge of social media and brand representation here down in hell.
A blast of angelic light. Who's this entering the room?
I'm Raziel.
What?
Angel of secrets and wisdom.
So you two must... You guys are like the opposite sort of like, like your counterparts, essentially.
I got his extension on speed dial, yeah.
Okay.
I never speak to that beast to my right.
Hey, we just did a brand deal with AC/DC, Hell's Bells. Did you guys catch that
you
one?
You know, that was
How'd
a,
that one do?
That was a great song, and I actually think it would be a great trailer jam
for
the movie that I would like to pitch you guys.
All right, let's hear
How much longer do I have to be here?
It's just going to take a minute of your time. Mr. Raspberry, was it?
Raziel.
Okay, Raziel. It's called Heaven Heist. And so basically here's the premise. It's Coco meets Point Break.
I love that first movie, Coco.
I love that second movie, Point Break.
Perfect. Well, it sounds like we're off to a good start. So basically the story is we start with our main character is a down on his luck gangster on Earth named Kyle. And Kyle is a getaway driver for the mob.
Sounds like he needs the saving light of heaven.
He sure does, but in order to get to heaven, sometimes you got to raise a little hell.
What a tagline!
That's a good-ass tagline!
What a tagline!
And pitch!
Sorry.
We're selling this movie tomorrow, everybody!
Holy shit, Will!
Will, we just bought off the dome.
We just bought the movie.
Was that just off the dome?
It's a phrase from a. I think it's from a Grateful Dead song or something like that. I don't. I didn't. I definitely didn't make that. So we just derailed the elevator.
Yeah, it's over. Okay, we just bought the movie.
We just bought the movie.
Is that a thing that somebody has said
before?
In
order to get to heaven, you got to raise a little hell. Yeah.
It's from Casey Jones, maybe. Or big jetliner.
Ozark Mountain. Daredevils.
Sorry,
that's a perfect.
Whatever.
Tagline.
I mean, you can use that as a tagline.
I'm buying this movie.
Okay.
I've bought this movie.
All right, Dale. Raziel. It's the fastest pitch I've ever done to get two people on board. But there you go. The movie's called Heaven Heist. In theaters soon.
Great. Holy shit, Will.
Well, there it is, everyone. Occasionally, you get one of those James Cameron writes the dollar sign in Aliens kind of moments, and I guess that
guys,
one was one of those.
Hey, it's weird. I had this dream. Something flashed my eyes where Will was talking to a demon and an angel.
Yeah.
Did you have that at the same time?
Thanks for thanks for remembering to revive me from the liminal space you put me in when you flatlined me.
Sounds like we're making a movie, boys.
Pitch went great,
all right.
That story break this week.
Wow.
I guess.
We're very excited.
I'm actually honestly like I said, we have a lot of fun here on this podcast. I do really love this idea.
We're gonna make this movie. I'm gonna call it right now. Within 10 years from this podcast, you will be able to watch this movie on iTunes. It's gonna happen.
iTunes. Straight to iTunes.
I don't think iTunes is going away. Netflix, we'll see. But I think iTunes is
staying
around.
You're gonna be able to use MoviePass to watch this movie.
10 years from now, you're gonna be able to use MoviePass to watch this movie on iTunes.
On your Nokia phone.
That's where MoviePass is gonna go.
Dope.
Anyway, all right.
Will, what do we got as far as fan art this week?
Well, we got a really terrific little poster from Eric at Windowsloth on Twitter, who gave us this really fun You Can't Recreate the Banana poster for Story Break from our iconic banana conversation from last week's episode. So thanks very much to Eric for that. Thanks as well to everyone who's been leaving us reviews on iTunes. That helps the podcast get found by future Story Break fans, so we appreciate that quite a bit.
Future Story Break enemies, but you know.
And mortal enemies of the Story Break clan.
We'll get them in this life or the next.
Thanks as well to Cameron Covell, our audio editor, for cutting down this episode.
Slicing and dicing,
Slicing and dicing. And I think that's going to do it for us. Congrats once more to future father / real father, Matt Arnold.
And Mulan participant. And my brother.
Future movie star. Jimmy Wong.
Everyone's like, aren't you? Like,
congratulations to Will on these three great mugs that he made us.
Check those mugs out, by the way. We're posting those
pictures. They're on my Instagram.
On Matt's Instagram, which is mostly miniature painting and
Matthew
mugs.
Matthew L. Arnold.
We'll be posting them on the Storybreak Twitter.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, yeah, if you
and
want.
And that Twitter, Storybreak Twitter.
Secondhand.
And that Twitter, Twitter's at RJ Storybreak. And if you want, you get your name lent potentially to future episode. Hit us up there as well.
So yeah, Kyle won the lottery in terms of names. Because oftentimes we just throw a name out at the end. Kyle are the main character of a movie we're actually going to make within the next 10 years.
And the name of Matt's daughter.
And the name of my daughter. So I have a conversation.
That's the next elevator pitch is us breaking the news to Ashley that her daughter's going to be named Kyle Sessions. So thank you, Kyle. Well, that's going to do it for us this week on Story Break, everybody. So that, how do we go into the last three words? What do we,
well, here's
you
what
do
you
it.
Do.
You always do
here's
it.
Here's how I do it, which is every
one
of
you
is
special.
Okay, sure.
Oh, that's really heartwarming. Nice. I like that. Thanks. Every one of you is special. Thanks, everyone.
Hey, have you checked out the Max Fun Store recently? If you head to maxfunstore.com now, you'll see a bunch of cool new stuff in there, along with your old favorites. We've got a colorful retro-inspired bubble shirt, plus stickers, buttons, and a poster. Reading Glasses fans will love their new library book-inspired shirt. And if you're a fan of beef, check back Friday for the debut of our Beef and Dairy Network merch. We've got all that and more from a ton of Max Fun shows. There's even a Rocket logo skateboard deck there. So go click around, see what we've got in stock, and buy yourself something fun at maxfunstore.com.